you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave. Thank you, Lord. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love God. God is good. He watches over me. And he watches over. Thank you, Lord. Oh, well, yes, he watches over me. And you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. That's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love good. One more time. And you know what is
done for me.
Oh, yes,
he gave me the
yeah, you sound beautiful. And that's why I love. Oh, I love him. Can you sing it one more time to the God? The Lord and you don't know what he's done
for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me
the victory.
Yes, and that's why I love you, Lord. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's so good to have a whole family together here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us, you're truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. We're a little beside ourselves. We don't get to come together all together until the fifth. Some months that have five Sundays, so we're here together. Most of us, some of our children are across the street, and it's just good to be. Some of us haven't seen each other in a while. We go to 8 o'clock service and 11:15 service, and for those that come, because if you come back on Sunday evening, you see everybody. Amen, somebody. I understand. I'm going to ask Brother Guerra, our Spanish minister, who is preaches for our Spanish worship service that speaks Spanish, but he is a man of God. Brother Gary, come on up here and pray with me. Pray with me this morning. I want him to lead a prayer in Spanish. Brother Ray Wilkerson will translate for us this morning and ask the Lord to bless us and to bless our service this morning. Brother Gary.
Hay uno de los salmos que posiblemente la iglesia conoce. Este salmo es el Salmo 133. Este salmo dice, mirad cuán bueno y cuán delicioso es habitar los hermanos juntos en armonía. Es hermoso ver la iglesia, Fifth Ward. Es hermoso.
It's beautiful. Yeah, we're able to come together and the psalms.
Gracias.
Adorar a Dios es lo mejor que podemos hacer.
To worship God is the best thing that we can do.
Amen.
Vamos a orar.
We're going to pray.
Santo Padre, gracias, Señor bendito.
Holy God, thank you
porque nos permites estar juntos.
That you permitted us to be together.
Gracias porque te podemos adorar en espíritu y en verdad.
Thank you for allowing us thank to you, pray Lord. In spirit and in truth.
Gracias porque te podemos cantar.
Thank you for allowing us to sing.
Podemos, Padre, comunicarnos contigo a través de la oración.
We can communicate with you in our worship.
Gracias, Señor, porque tú eres bueno con nosotros.
Thank you because you are so good to us.
Gracias por nuestras familias que tenemos.
Thank you for our families that we have among us.
Gracias por nuestros hijos.
Thank you for our children.
Nuestros padres.
For our fathers.
Nuestra familia en Cristo Jesús.
For our families in Christ Jesus.
Gracias, Padre.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Te pedimos que nos ayudes a crecer siempre en el conocimiento de tu palabra.
We ask you to bless us to always work within the will of your word.
Que nos hagas crecer.
That we might grow.
Que podamos madurar espiritualmente cada uno de nosotros.
That we might be spiritual among all of us.
Para que podamos servirte de manera mejor.
That we might continue to do that which is great, better in your sight.
Gracias por nuestros niños que tenemos.
Thank you for the children that we have among us.
Gracias por los jóvenes que tenemos.
Thank you for the young people among us.
Gracias por esos matrimonios jóvenes que tenemos en la iglesia.
Thank you for the young marriages that we have in the church.
Yes.
Gracias por nuestros predicadores.
We thank you for our preachers.
Por nuestros maestros.
Thank you for our teachers.
Yes, Lord.
Nuestros ancianos.
Thank you for our elders.
Nuestros diáconos.
For our deacons.
Gracias, Señor, por cada uno de las personas que estamos en esta congregación.
Thank you for each person that is a part of this family and this congregation.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Ayúdanos, Padre, siempre.
Help us always, my Father.
Te lo pedimos en el nombre de Cristo Jesús.
We ask you this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amén.
Amen. 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 Gary, can't you? You can sing, can't you? I've heard you sing before. You're a good singer.
¿Puede usted cantar una canción?
Yeah.
You know, ¿eres cantante en español?
Do you know the song Amazing Grace?
¿Conoces el canción?
I know you know the song Amazing Grace. Lead us Grace. In Spanish. We
in
sing
Spanish.
In English.
Okay.
We sing in Spanish and English. Can we do that? One verse of Amazing Grace.
Un verso
grace.
De
one
Amazing
verse
Grace.
Of
en español.
Amazing Grace. Amazing. I'm putting him on the spot.
Necesito un inario.
You need a song book, huh?
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Or Oh, how I love Jesus. You know, how I love Jesus.
Ay,
lo no, oh, I love sí. Jesus.
Which one? Oh, how I love Jesus or Amazing Grace?
Te amo, Jesús.
There is a name I love to hear.
Te amo, Jesús.
En español.
Somebody give me a songbook. Oh, we need a Spanish
in Spanish.
Songbook.
Necesito
Spanish
un ignario en español. ¿Tiene alguien un ignario en español atrás de los hermanos?
You won't put somebody else on the spot. Oh. Oh, songbook. Spanish songbook. Okay, there we go. There we go. Amazing Grace. Oh, how I love Jesus. One of those songs, all right? There we go.
Cuánto te amo.
Oh, okay. Is that, which one is that? Oh, there is. That's Oh, how I love Jesus. Okay. One day.
¿Es divina gracia en español? Divina gracia.
Hermano. Podemos cantar este en la pantalla.
No, that one.
Pero ¿cómo se llama este? ¿Cuánto te amo? ¿Cómo va el tono?
I'm sorry putting you on the spot, Gerby. I know he can sing.
¿Es divina gracia en español? No, divina gracia.
It's Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Oh, Tyler's just okay.
Yeah, I remember.
Gun?
Yeah.
Had to come back to him. You see, you started off.
Divina gracia,
how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Next next time.
Yeah, next time.
Next time.
All right, next time. We good. All of it. Okay, we good. We good. We good. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Gary. Amen. All in the family. All in the family. Thank you, Gary. I'll prepare you next time. I want to dive right into my lesson. I've entitled the lesson this morning, Christians, Stress and Depression. I don't want this lesson to be a downer, but I want to deal with this as the whole body is together. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Job. Book of Job. Stress has been called America's number one health problem. It's estimated by the American Institute for Stress that 75 to 90% of visits to the doctor are stress-related problems. A little bit of stress it can be good for us. Because it can, some of us, we wouldn't move if we didn't have a little stress. It motivates us. And so we're not saying that we won't live, we're trying to live life without stress. But over time, stress does have an effect on our physical bodies, our minds, and it's linked to every major illness, heart disease, cancer. Autoimmune diseases, it's linked to reproductive problems. Yes, depression and suicide. Researchers from the University Institute of Psychology in the UK, United Kingdom, Health and Society, did a survey and analyzed 32,000 participants from the ages of 18 to 85. And they were exploring the causes and the consequences of stress. And the study found that traumatic life events was the single biggest determinant of anxiety and stress in our lives. Things that happen, and this was all followed by a family history of mental illness. Did you not know that 1 in 6 families have serious mental illness in their families? We can attest to that even here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Other factors are relationships. But more than that, in this survey, their results also reveal that a person's reaction will affect us more than anything when we're dealing with stress. How we think, our minds. And you know and I know that stress is really an intrusion. It's an intrusion on our routines. Anybody need some peace this morning? I need peace every day, Lord have mercy. At least a piece of peace, if you will. And stress, it interrupts our routine. And some of us, you know, we get, when something interrupts our peaceful state, it causes stress. And that's what stress is. It's that way really with all animals. You take, I'm sure we have some dog lovers in here. You take a dog and he eats at a certain time and you walk him at a certain time and he sleeps at a certain time. And you've been doing that for a while and you break that cycle. That dog will act up. It'll cut up. It'll tear up. It may get sick, and we are almost the same when we're dealing with matters. Things come in our lives, and they get all out of whack, and they turn our lives upside down. And Lord have mercy. Christian saints, we got to learn how to deal with situations. In order to be all that God would have us to be. I was studying and reading, and you know this comes from, you know, we're dealing with people, all of us, everyday lives, and that none of us is exempt to stress. And some of us, we react in ways sometimes that's even more self-destructive than the stress itself. Amen. And I believe that the Bible, God has left us some ways that we can deal with matters that happen in our lives. And I do believe that the book of Job, it illustrates one of the most excessive examples of stress, but also how believers can and should aspire to respond to situations that happen in our lives. And Job, if you haven't ever read the book of Job, Job experienced all of life's major stresses in a very short period of time. And I don't know about you, but I don't wish that on nobody. I don't wish that on anybody, but Lord have mercy. You know, and I know, some of us have already experienced some things that many of us can't handle ourselves. Some of us have not. Some of us is on the way. Some of us just don't know what's coming down the line. And some of us think we know how we would act, but we don't even know. And so, Job, I wanna deal with Job chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1, and just to state them all, and this is not exhaustive, and it doesn't limit every issue that goes on in our life, but you know, they do studies and they talk about things that happen in most people's lives. This is the list that they call the top stresses in our life. Job loss. You know, job loss means income loss. And sometimes not just job loss, even getting a new job can be just as stressful as a job loss. But our finances is a major stressor in life. It's common to a lot of individuals. How are we going to deal with it when our finances are not like they need to be? And Lord have mercy, get in line. There's a whole lot of us. A death of a loved one. A spouse, a parent, a child, a friend. Hearts are broken. We grieve. Our loved one is gone. And here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, we have funerals every single week. And there's many of the stresses there. There's not anything that you control. You can't do anything about it. And it comes in our life, the death of a loved one. Individuals in here right now dealing with death, recent death. And if you haven't experienced to the part in a way that someone close to you has not passed away, that you love down to the bone, and they are gone, how will you deal with it? Because you know it's coming, don't you? Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, death of a loved one. And some of us are unsympathetic simply because we haven't been through it yet. And that's a divorce. From a spouse, divorce. Divorce is almost like death. Many individuals will attest to it. Listen, divorce, not just from a spouse, divorce, even sometimes in friendships that you've had a bond with someone and all of a sudden something happens and they're no longer in your life for whatever reason. And it causes pain and anger. Some individuals who have been divorced from a church that they've been for a long time, and they've had to change either locations or where they've gone to church or where they grew up, and it can be so, it can bring so much bitterness in your life if you allow it to. Yeah, some say that moving. Anybody had to move lately? Yeah, moving is stressful. Move. I tell you what, don't call Brother Gary if you need to move. Yes, Lord, moving is stressful. And then don't forget illness, major illnesses. Raise your hand if if someone in your family is ill. You might be you ill. Yeah, some of you have major. Raise your hand if you got major illness in your family. Raise your hand. Let's look around. Look around. You're a caregiver. You're taking care of somebody. You're going to see somebody, or you're dealing with major illness yourself. It always surprises me. In our body, you have those who come among us, those who sit among us, who are at the MD Anderson Cancer Center, right around the corner, who come here to worship service and are dealing with major illness. Even success is stressful. Yeah, you get a promotion, you make a lot of money, and that can be stressful. Why? Because folk worry to death. You got relatives coming out the woodwork, stressing. You don't know how to act, you don't know how to respond. Turn to Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now, I won't be able to finish this lesson. I may break it up in a couple of three pieces, but there's so much to be said. I don't want to be too intellectual because there's some that say, "Well, Brother Gary, this is just a story in the Bible." This is real. And I could tell you in so many ways. He names all the cities that he deals with here in the book of Job. He says in the land of Uz. Job was a real man. I believe that with all of my heart. Some of the places it called, if I had time, you go down to Job 1:17. It talks about the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were those who came in and took and had an effect on Job's life because of what they did. The Sabaeans, the Chaldeans are mentioned in Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. The Terah, you remember Abraham's dad, they came at Ur of Chaldea. It is where Abraham, God told him to get out of his father's country. Chaldeans, Sabaeans, they're all listed. Chaldeans are listed over and over in the Old Testament as individuals, heathens who always gave God's children problems. And I can say a little bit more about Job, but I believe that Job was a real man dealing with real problems, just like we deal with in our lives every day. And I believe that God put this in the Bible for a reason, for us to be able to deal with issues and problems that we're having in our lives. Job, a man of us whose name was Job. And then the Bible says that in verse number one, the latter part of verse number one, and that man was blameless. He was upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. It's talking about Job. He didn't just start this, but this is the way the Bible says about him. Most scholars would say that this is one of the oldest books in the Bible, one of the oldest, if not the oldest. If this is Job, it wouldn't have been far after the creation time. Probably would fall in chronological order thereabouts after Genesis chapter 10 or so. But Job was a man who was blameless. He was upright. He knew about God. He feared God. And let me say this as one of the remedies of dealing with stress and for the Christian dealing with issues, dealing with depressions. There is nothing that pleases God more than loving obedience to his will. And I'm saying that because, see, that we want the real deal, don't we? See, I know there's no magic answer to this. And for the saints, for those who are living the Christian life, see, sometimes we want somebody else to fix all of our problems. And we have to take on some of the responsibility. Amen, church. Amen. And there is nothing that pleases God more than loving obedience to his will. And one of the things we need to do is position ourselves in the right place for God to bless us. Yeah, we need to position ourselves. We need to do this ours. We need to put ourselves in a place where God can, he wants to, he will bless us. Job, the Bible says, he was upright. And I want everybody in here that's a believer this morning. I want you to at least see. I know, and you know, we use this phrase. Well, you know, Brother Gary, nobody's perfect, and you know, we all say that. I know it because I say it all the time. We say it sometimes because we know we're getting ready to do something. That we don't need to be doing. Amen. Somebody. Well, God will understand. Can we at least commit to say, I want to be upright. I want to be just. I want to be holy. I want to live right. Amen. See, you got to be willing to say it. Amen. You got to be willing to, see, you know, we can't ask God to do everything for us. Amen. And Job was, the Bible says he was upright. And God loves you. I mean, look all in the Bible. You remember Noah and John in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible said, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Anybody need some favor this morning? We're trying to deal with this stress. But you got to get God on your side to deal with stress. There's no other way around it I know of. He said Noah found favor with God, the Bible says. He said Joseph, Noah, the Bible says, was a righteous man. He was blameless in his time. It doesn't say that he was perfect, but see, you got to be, first of all, you have to know what's right. And you have to do what's right.
Amen.
Yeah, and he said, he goes on, and I believe in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verse 4, it talks about Enoch. Enoch, the Bible says, he walked with God. And then it said, and he was without, because God took him.
Amen.
And then a couple of verses before that, it said, Enoch, he walked with him 300. He didn't just start today walking with God.
Amen.
And walking means living.
Right.
He knew his statutes, and stop. We need to stop feeling so sorry for ourselves that things are going so bad, and we need to spend just a little time reflecting on how did I get myself in this situation. You know, I mean, start. Well, Gary, I need some more help. Well, let's start with us first.
Amen.
What did I do to put myself in this position? And we want some favor for God. First of all, we got to admit our faults.
Amen.
And we got to commit to living for God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Yeah, I need to. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a husband. What kind of husband have I been? I mean, really, truthfully. What kind of father have I been? What kind of mother have I been? And see, be consistent. don't you love consistency?
Yeah.
See, don't you love it? I love it. See, our brothers here, I love it. Our service starts at 10 o'clock. What time should the service start? 10 o'clock. Does it start at 11 o'clock?
No.
What if we start at 10 o'clock this Sunday, and then go next Sunday, we're going to start at 10:30. What would that do to you? See, some of you would come and, because 10 o'clock. Some of you would take it for a little while. Now, some of you say, you know what, they don't never start on time.
Amen.
And you know, it does something to your psyche. It does something to your actions. It does something to your credibility when people are wishy-washy. They this way one day, that way the other day. We love the Lord today, but not tomorrow. Yeah, and listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel said, Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than God. You know what? Your money is good, but God would rather that you obey him. Yeah, to obey is better than sacrifice. That's what he says. And then he even says about Job in Job chapter 1. I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, Job chapter 1, he says in verse number 8, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth.
Amen.
That's what he said about Job. There's nobody like him on earth. Yeah. Let's stop making so many excuses. Let's stop making so many excuses. Let's stop setting ourselves up for, you know, playing with God.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? See, you know, most people know. If I curse a lot, I'm just using an example. You know you curse a lot, don't you? Don't they? I mean, and you know, the Bible said from the same mouth comes forth blessings and cursing. Then it says, this ought not to be so. How I'm going to preach on Sundays and curse somebody out on Monday?
Help us.
Yeah. And so, see, and we know what we have to work on. Yeah, we want blessings. We don't want stress, but we got to work on ourselves.
Amen.
I know it. I mean, you know, if 10 people say, ooh, yeah, no, no, she's a booger, don't mess. Well, you a booger. Don't camouflage. Don't say, you know, well, that's just how I am. Yeah. Job was consistent. Everybody knew it. You know, see sisters say, that's a sweet sister. And I know sometimes people don't know everything about us. And I'm not saying we're trying to please people, but who we trying to please? Don't you think God don't know when we wishy-washy and dibbling and dabbling and sneaking and got all of these deceitful secrets? God knows how you make your money. You know, you can have a big house and, you know, but God knows what you're doing to make your money. Yeah. And Job, the Bible says, we skip over it, but Bible says there was nobody like him. In other words, God knows, and you don't have to be famous to be righteous with God. Yes, you don't have to be famous. We have some wonderful mothers in here who, you know what they do? They're so consistent. They bathe their children. They sing to them. They read to them. They bring them to Bible class. They comb their hair. They make sure they go to the doctor. They teach them scriptures in the Bible. They love them. Talk to them, please. You think God don't know that? Yes. Yeah. And Job was positioned. He was positioned for the favor of God. Open your Bible. God rewards righteous living. And I just, please choose righteousness. Choose holiness. Choose doing, and sometimes we even get discouraged doing what's right. Some of the time we get discouraged doing what, you keep doing what's right because God sees and knows all. He knows everything we're doing. You know, he rewards righteous. How do you know that? Listen to verse 2. Joseph, the Bible says he had 7 sons, 3 daughters who were born to him. 7 sons. Boy, oh my goodness. What you can't do with 7 sons? Boy, look, I will work them, boy. Excuse me. Yeah. Look, God blessed y'all. He blessed him. Had 3 daughters. His listen to what he had. His possessions were 7,000 sheep. My goodness. 7,000. 3,000 camels. 500 yoke of oxen. 500 female donkeys. And very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of these. I'm glad this is in the Bible. So, you know, we associate evil with richness. God is not against folk having money. Making money. If look here, I'm ready. I tell you what, Lord, I think I can handle some money right now. That might have been a time I might not have been ready. I think I'm ready right now. Bless me if you want to, Lord. Amen, somebody. Yeah, it says he's the greatest. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And this is what they had, his sons. And they would send and invite the 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. This was and when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings. This is why I know that Job was a man of God. I don't know if he was an Israelite, he was a Jew, but I know that he knew about God's offerings. He would offer burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. You know, Job was a man. Job cared about his children. They had a feast every, they passed it around in the son's house. And they feasted and fellowshiped together. These are brothers and sisters. Amen. And they spread it around in the house, invited the daughters to come. And Job knew about it. And the Bible says Joseph would offer a burnt offering on behalf of his, anybody need to pray for their children? Yeah. Oh, have mercy. Yeah. Job was not only concerned about himself, he was concerned about his family. He took care of home. Boy, look at, notice this. God was watching all of that. God was watching the way Job loved his family. Our life whether you're single or whether you're married, our life, we spend more time in the family relationship than we do in this church fellowship. And so your training ground, your blessing ground is your family. Brothers, take care. You want God's favor? Don't abandon your children, your wife. Yeah. Job, and you know children, I don't care if you raise them up as a Christian or not, you know, they will get beside themselves, won't they? So they were having a feeling. And I'm telling you, they were drinking wine there. This is not listening not on wine. They were drinking wine. Man, Job said, I need to offer them a, I need to make, I, they might be sinning. And Job, yeah. How many of you know where your children are right now? Yeah. And some of them, oh, we're getting, my children good. They, I know they not, excuse you? And your children might be just as high as a kite right now. Ooh, Lord have mercy. I grew up in the Lord's church. Both of my parents were faithful Christians, and I was a good child. Why are you laughing? Most of the time. Yeah, well, Job, I love that about Job. He was a good man. That's why I wanted to point that out. Now, well, I thought you were talking about stress. I am. See, you know, one of the things that you don't want is, see, some of us, our stress is our guilt. Some people have so much guilt because of things that they've done in the past. Yeah, but God rewards. I want you to see that, church. God rewards righteous living. I wish I had time to go to 1 Kings 3:11. You remember Solomon, and Solomon was inheriting the kingship, and Solomon prayed this prayer. Said, Lord, all these people, how am I going to judge these people? And Solomon, he prayed a prayer to the Lord and asked the Lord for a discerning spirit to be able to judge all these people. And God told Solomon, he says, because you didn't ask for riches for yourself, because you wasn't selfish in your prayer, he says, I'm going to give you, you're going to be the wisest person that ever lived. That's what God, notice it. God loves a tender, obedient, submissive heart. That recognizes that we don't have all the answers, that we're not adequate. I don't care how good a parent you know, some people, I'm going to be a good parent. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That's still not going to be enough. Yeah. See, what you need to ask the Lord is to help Lord, help me where I don't know what to do. Yeah. God loves the humble, contrite spirit, and he blesses that. And he not only made Solomon wiser, he made him richer than any. God loves humble, obedient spirits. And so if you want to reduce stress in your life, be humble, admit your issues, and get on the right side of God. And you position yourself. Lord have mercy, and God blessed him. Oh, Lord, amen. He's blessed so many more. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, New Testament, see, listen, this is simple, but some of our children don't get it, even us as adults. He says, Ephesians 6, to honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's what he says. And we're talking about righteous living. And he says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. You know the passage. Children, obeying your parents, that your days may be long on the earth. Yeah. Some folk, we cause issues and problems because we just won't be obedient to God. Go to verse 6, Job 1:6. I'm going to stop at the appropriate time. That was a day. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came among them. I don't know when it was. I don't know if it was at an offering. Like today, we worship God on the first day of the week. And we come here to worship and praise God. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Children of God, the believers here. You think Satan came in here this morning? Is he sitting beside you? Excuse me, don't you look to... No, please don't look to your left or your right. Because he might be you. Oh, excuse me. No, we're dealing with... Be realistic. See, don't. See, we on earth. And we live in a broken world. Why is the world broken? Because sin is in this world.
Yes.
That's reality. Yes. Sin crept into the garden, and it's been in the world ever since.
Amen.
And I don't care where, notice this, wherever you go, at work, at home, even when the Lord's people meet as a group, Satan is on the prowl. This is the realistic part of when we're dealing with issues. See, don't be in the clouds. You know, some counseling married couples, they get married, and you just see them. They just gleaming, just making all the plans. They come in with their folders, got all the dates out, and we gonna do all of this. And they're sitting there, just be sitting next to each other like they're about to glue together. Are y'all having any issues? Oh, no, we're not having any issues. Are they going to have some issues, church?
Yes, sir.
I know they know that, but I just... But see, when you're in fantasy land, you set yourself up for a big fall.
Amen.
Yeah, so Satan came along. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." He says, from roaming about the earth. And I guess I need a whole lesson on Satan.
Yes.
And his dealings and how he works. And see, Lord, see now, he wasn't just, Job says he's just roaming about, walking around on the earth. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, he says, not only is he roaming, he's roaming, seeking whom he may devour. Yeah, yeah. And Satan has demons. That's why, you know, Satan has demons. That's like some, now I used to say, you know, like some men, they just demons. But you got some sister demons too. That's not funny at all. You got some sisters that are prowl on your brother. You be careful now. But he's seeking, and he said he's roaming and he's seeking. And the Bible says, then Satan answered, excuse me, verse number 8. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And now I don't want to mistranslate this. But it's as if Satan had been roaming. You know, Satan got a bunch of henchmen. And you know, it's like how many ever Satan has is never enough.
Amen.
Always looking to mess up somebody's life. You realize, you know, especially like you see a couple in here or individual in here, maybe be single, whatever, and he's doing well. He got a good job, and he dresses nice. He wears a nice car, and he's doing well, and even he may be even humble. He's not boastful about it. And isn't that good, church?
Yes.
Don't you know Satan see that?
Yes.
I got something for him. She thinks she, yeah, I bet she can't. I'm gonna try this. Satan appears trying to mess. Realize that when we're dealing with stress and pressure.
Yes.
If you got somebody, oh, well, you happily married right now, be careful. And God, he says, if you consider my servant Job, God must have knew Job through and through.
Yeah.
Notice this, God knows us.
Well.
And he said, there's no one like him on this earth. There's no one like him. I know him. I know his heart. I know what he's about. And you know what? I really believe God knows our heart. He knows our weaknesses. And I'm telling you, this is, listen to what else. Let me finish. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And he says, then this Satan talking back to God. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him, his house, and all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Put forth now your hand now and touch all that he has, and he surely will curse you to his face. One thing Satan did was give credit where all his blessings was coming from. He said, he's doing good because you blessing him, and that's the truth. Amen, somebody. God blesses righteousness. Amen. He blesses you when you're a good mother, and you're a good father, you're a good son. God will bless us.
Amen.
Yeah. Satan recognized that. Well, but he tried to play it on God. Right. He said, you take it away from him, I bet you he won't serve you. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about Job here, right here. Can I just ask a question while we're in the neighborhood? You serving God. You're in service. We hear this moment. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You lost your job. Your checks stopped coming. Are you here now? Would you be here? Would you, if you lose your job, no check. Well, boogie your pen if I got some gas to get to church. I understand. That's a real situation. Are we serving God because God is good to us? Yeah. It's something to ask. And I know we're sitting in church with, hey, man, bro, no, Lord, I will be here, bro. That's good. That's something to think about. But I know I love the Lord, and I know I'm going to be. I just ask the question. Because it's easy to amen. You know, some of us, we talk about people, you know, other people when they're going through things, the way they're handling things, because you haven't been through what they're handling. And I'm just, because see, now this is the real deal now. Now, Satan asked a question. It hasn't happened yet. Now, notice this. Job is about to be tested, but he don't know it. We reading it in the Bible. But Joseph is not in on the conversation that God and Satan is having. It's just like us right now. You know, some of us, you know, really, you think about it. I always, when I pray prayers, I say, Lord, please keep the hedge around me. Yes. Ooh, Lord, I don't need no more testing. Yes. if it was up to me, I've been tested. Just give me a road on up to heaven. But do you really know yourself? And see, some of us, we are not what God really would have us to be yet anyway. So I would say sometimes stress is not all bad. Sometimes it's all stress will let you know who you really are. And now notice this. This is what it says. The Lord said to him, behold, all he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now, that's the conversation that they had now. And see, stress don't make announcements. One of the things, and I'm gonna have to stop in about 10 minutes, but I'm getting into some solutions. But you got to see the whole picture when we're talking about dealing with stress. And we got to be realistic about what's going on. See, stress does not make announcements and say, I'm coming, here I am. Amen. One of the things that we as Christians must do in our everyday lives is to expect the unexpected.
Amen.
Notice. See, no. Now we got the Bible. Job didn't have privy to read this story in the Bible.
Amen.
See, in here right now, What do you mean, Brother Gary? In a building this size, this many people, that many cars out in the parking lot, somebody's car might not start when you go outside. Why would you say that? Mine almost didn't start when I was coming here, Brother Gary. Now, notice life, situations. Yeah, see, you go outside, your car don't start. You can deal with it one or two ways. Well, maybe more than one or two ways. Brothers, raise your hand, brothers, if you'd help the person that car won't start. Raise your hand. So, now, don't raise your hand if you don't know nothing about car now. Raise it. First of all, look, raise your hand, brothers. I'm serious. Raise your hand. First of all, you got some help. You're in the body right now. You're in the saint. We got all these resources. But I need to preach a sermon on the work of the church and the church a little bit later on. See, some things we put ourselves in a friend. Oh, Lord, my car won't stop. Everybody, what am I going to do? Keep your blood pressure down. Hey, don't make the problem any bigger than it. Bigger than it is. Matter of fact, look this. It haven't even happened yet. It may, nobody's car, everybody's car might start, but it also might not. And I say that because, see, sometimes we miss the messages in the Bible. See, you know what to say? I was looking on the internet a couple of days ago. Did you not know it's flu? We already in flu season. In an audience this size, about 30 of you gonna catch the flu. Notice that 30 of you. Now, listen, I'm looking. I do every other year, just about. I get the flu. Hey, you need to take the shots. How many of you have ever taken a shot and got the flu? Raise your hand. Thank you. I just wanted to see that. I'm sorry, Dr. Joe, and I didn't mean to do that. Doctors in the house. I'm sorry, Brother Dr. Hank. I'm sorry. I didn't. Y'all go get your flu shot. But expect that you still might. Now, notice this. Would it help your psyche? Would it help your mentality? See, because when you expect, we live in a broken world. We live in a society. When you expect the unexpected, you can prepare. So when it happens to you, you're not diving off a building. Now, those are matters that might not be what they call major traumatic events. Can I just drop one more? In a church our size, we will probably lose a couple of faithful members in the next year, maybe even more, won't we? It's happened just about every year. Who is it going to be? Oh, but Gary, you didn't have to say that. See, that's the reality of life. We got children in here. They need to hear that. See, I mean, you can't protect. See, some of us, we too protect. You know, like, I was in the funeral business, and you know that for, it's been years ago now. But I have a different perspective on that. Some people, well, don't take your children, don't let your children go up to the casket and see. You need to let them children see. Amen. The children handle, matter of fact, I see children handle it better than a lot of, well, now don't tell him, don't tell. No, you need to. You know why some of us can't handle big issues when we older? Because we haven't dealt with none of them. You know the children that walk the fastest, the babies that walk the fastest. You know the ones that walk the fastest? The ones that fall the most. The ones who try and you're not picking them up and you let them bump their head the most. You know who's the strongest? The one who works the hardest.
Amen.
And whoo, my good, my time is. Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. Nothing new. Everyday life. Messenger came to Job. Stress can visit you, boy. Just messenger. The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them. The Sabaeans, real people, heathen nations, attacked and took them. Messenger came in and told him, all your oxen. You remember how many oxen Job had? 500 oxen? Yoke of oxen. All of them. They took them all. Now, that right there would make a whole lot of us lose our religion. Did what? Huh? While he was still speaking, notice, while he was still speaking, see, they slew the servants, they took the oxen and killed all of his servants. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, fire from God fell from heaven. That's whether it was thunder, lightning, burned up the sheep and the servants and consuming, and I alone have escaped. You ever heard the phrase, when it rains, it's pouring now. God is good, isn't he? Yeah, good. Job was blessed. And it seems like before this time, just it's all these blessings, these goods. He's accumulating his sons, having sons and daughters. They're eating, everybody's married. Things are good. And it's a dangerous time. You know, I just, if things are good, you just need to be saying praise. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you. We were at my dad. My dad celebrated his 84th birthday. Thank you, brother. And I was at my mother's a couple of weeks ago. Her and her twin sister, we took them to, where did we take them, baby? To a nice restaurant. And they celebrated their 80th birthday. All the children, we were taking pictures and smiling, and everybody saying, we were all saying, oh, this is just nice. But rejoice, when you can rejoice, you better rejoice. Notice, rejoicing helps you deal with stress. See, some of us, we not only stress, we don't even know when to laugh, when it's time to laugh. Because you're going to have plenty of time you can cry. Yeah, see, you can't just be, but when it comes, I mean, just boom, boom. And then it says, while he was still speaking, another came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid of the camels and took them, slew the servants and edge of the sword. I alone escaped the tear. You know, some of us, when we read this, we say, see, that's why, I don't believe that's the truth. That's the, all that stuff couldn't happen in one day. Hello? See, you can tell you small. Oh, not you or whoever it is. When you think like that, all that stuff, man, look, you don't realize what some people in here right now are going through. You ever had a day where you had a flat, you got a ticket, you got to work and they told you they laying off. And then you got home and somebody broke in your house. That's pretty bad day, ain't it? Excuse me. Can it happen? Yeah. He says this. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters, Lord have mercy, were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind, sounds like a tornado to me, came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. It fell on the young people and they died. I alone have escaped to tell you. Question to the church. Could you have survived all of that? Some of you don't even want to think about doing. You think, I mean, you don't just lose one of your children. You lost all of his children. Has anybody ever gone through anything close to that? Don't raise your hand. I want you to understand. Has anybody ever gone through anything? Anything like this? But Gary, I've lost my child. I don't even want to think about that. See, Lourdes, I tell you, maybe somebody will. Has anybody ever house burned down? Anybody ever lost a house burned? I mean, you might want to be like, okay, you're going home today, your house burned down. Oh, no, Brooklyn, my house is all right. No, your house really, it burned down. I want you to put it in your mentality right now. Your house burned down. What you thinking about? Oh, Lord, my shoes. Sister. You know, see, I'm not worried about it. No, but it really burnt down. Your clothes, your shoes, all of your memorabilia. Mm-hmm. That's all that stuff you was hiding in there. It's gone. No, my question, is this real life?
Yeah.
It's real life. Your whole world is turned upside down. Now this happened to Job. All of this stuff. All of it. And I'm not trying to make light of anything that we're going through. Can I ask a question? We're alive this morning, amen? Most of us have pretty much our health and our strength. See, I'm trying to get us, listen, you got to get out these dumps that you're in this morning. You have to recognize blessings when you got them and recognize where they come from. Recognize that things are not nearly as bad as we make them out to be. Oh, listen, church, now we're in America. You're in the United States of America. How many in here will not eat today? See, to deal with stress, to deal with depression, you got to realize that you're blessed already. Amen. And I got to stop. But listen, I want to read this as I close. Brother D'Amico read this in your hearing. And this is Job's verbal reaction. Listen to what he says. After the messenger came in. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved it. This is something the Jews did. Tore his mantle, the Bible says. He tore his cloak. It was not it's a sign of mourning. He tore his, he shaved his head. But in order to shave his head, he had to be deliberate. It's not anything he did haphazardly. It was just to say that I am in mourning. I recognize what's going on. Lord, he's emotional, but he has not lost control. He has not fainted to the point that he's about to give up. But he's crying. He's human. He's hurting. As I pray, Lord, for strength. Hello. He fell to the ground. He worshiped. I remember when some of our sisters, the sisters I heard, they had a fantastic time yesterday at the ladies' tea. Sisters, y'all know how to do it. I just got to give it to you. You're beautiful. We love you so much. Holy women of God, using your gifts to glorify God. And you do it in a way that the brothers, we can't even come close. I think the color yesterday was purple. Is that right? You know what they did? They honored many of our widows. And I, this is just from my memory. I'm not calling any names, but I can remember when some of our widows here lost their husbands. And you know we handle things in different ways. And they would show up. You lose your husband in the week, and they show up at worship service. They come to worship and sit and worship to God before they even bury their husband. Isn't that noble? And I know they didn't do it to brag for me to say anything about it, but you know, somebody die. And we all gonna mourn, and we mourn in different ways. You know, somebody died, we just go on vacation. We withdraw from everybody. We don't. We all trying to get better. We all trying to be able to deal. We trying to be pleasing to God. And I just noticed Job. The Bible says he fell to the ground. He worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb." That's why, see, in order for you, some of us, to get out of this pit, and some people call it a pity party, but I don't want to call it a pity party, because I don't know how I'd act in some of our situation. And I'm not being indicted at all, and we all trying to help each other, help one another. But I do know this: if you are down in the dumps and you've excluded yourself, you've withdrawn, you've taken yourself out of ministry, you're not doing anything to glorify God, something wrong with that. Amen. And God's not where God wants you to be. Amen. And when you recognize that you still got a whole lot of blessings, well, you should recognize that God is still good, is what Job said. Look, Job said, "I came here with nothing." Yeah. How many of you were born with a gold ring around your finger? Everybody come here the same way. Says, "Naked I came." Yeah. The Bible says that from the dust of the earth we come. And when we leave here, you know what? Your honey might dress you up. And you know, they might buy you a real nice, expensive casket. And, you know, everybody walk by and say, "Ooh, they sure put baby way nice." And everybody brag on the, "Ooh, look at the flowers, and they pretty, and look at that suit we got on. Ooh, she got a hat. Ooh, they did her hair so nice." And you say all those wonderful things about the person that's gone. But that's not what really counts, is it? I will give some practical things that I believe that God has given us, even through Job's example, on how we deal with stress, how we deal with depression. Because Job got a story to tell that all of us need to hear in order, because see, that was awful, wasn't it, that Job went through. But you know what? The devil wasn't through with him yet. Your homework is to read Job chapter 2. But if you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to put yourself in God's graces. My Lord. And you do that by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That's why all our promises, all our benefits are. If you're here today, you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you come by faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, and to confess Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, 16. God adds you to the family of God, to the body of Christ, to the church of Christ, to the kingdom of God, where all of his blessings are. And he tells us in Revelation 2, 10, the latter part of that verse, if you be faithful unto death, he'll give you a crown. He give all of us a crown. And in life is going to test us. We're going to have our tests. And I just believe that some of us need to hear this morning that you need, it's time for us to get up. It's time for us to get back in the race. It's time for us to keep fighting. It's time for us to stop being so bitter toward life and be grateful to God. You're here today and you need to come. You need to ask the church for prayer. We'll pray for you. If you need to get something right, won't you do it as we stand and sing the song.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart,
more holy,
to be more holy in
my heart,
in my heart, Lord, I want to be more holy in
my
like Jesus.
Lord, I want to be like Jesus in
my heart.
Oh,
in my
heart.
Lord,
I want
to be like Jesus
in
my
heart. Jesus in
my
heart. Well, in my heart.
In my heart.
Well, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. My heart.